And away we go. It is the BCJ podcast brought to you by the Holy Grail right here on BearcatJournal.com. As always, it is summer. If you're heading down to the banks and take in a Reds game, go to a concert, do anything fun, make sure you are stopping by to see our good friends at the Holy Grail. They will get you taken care of. Great food, great atmosphere, and every Cincy light that you purchase at the Holy Grail, they will donate an additional 50 cents to the Cincy Reigns NIL Collective. So make sure you are supporting those that support us. Get down and see our good friends at the Grail and get yourself a Cincy light. And everybody wins. All right, let's get this show on the road. We got a special guest we'll get to in just a second. First off, Dave, how is life? Is everything okay? I know it's been yes, a crazy couple of days. Are you all right?
I'm good. We are good. Just a lot going on right now. So,
yes. Well, we wish you guys the best as hopefully life gets back to normal pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully tomorrow.
Today we have a very special guest, Katrina Merriweather. Joined us on Monday. Tomorrow, top five recruit for the 2025 class, Dee Alexander, the most recent commit for women's basketball, joins us on the nightcap. Tonight, one of the newest Bearcats, Bradley transfer, Bloomington native, former Indiana elite star, Connor Hickman, joins the show. And Connor is still roughing it out, finishing out the semester in Peoria, Illinois at Bradley, but he was kind enough to take some time and join us tonight. Connor, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
We are very excited to have you on. I know you're missing out on the fun. We're gonna break a little bit of news tonight. While you are in Peoria, the Cincinnati staff is in Bloomington with your family.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're missing out probably on a free dinner.
Free dinner, yeah. Making fun of Coach Drew. I'm missing out on a few of my favorite things, that's for sure.
It's unfortunate, but we appreciate that while they're out having fun, probably somewhere in Bloomington walking around with UC gear on, getting chastised at this point. But that's okay. It's worth it. we appreciate you for hopping on with us.
Yeah, of course.
First off, let's get it started with what you just mentioned. Your relationship with Drew and his dad, Mark, and the Indiana Elite program being based out of Bloomington.
Yeah.
Just talk about that relationship with the Adams family. And, you know, he was the one that kind of that recruited you to Bradley. Not kind of, I guess. He's the one that recruited you to Bradley, also to Cincinnati. How long have you known them, being, you know, everybody's from Bloomington? Yeah. How far back does this go, and what's your connection to them been like?
I think my relationship with Coach Drew, I mean, it really started with his dad. I started playing AAU for his dad around, I think, eighth grade. So I've known Mark for a long time, and he's a great guy, great coach. And then Coach Drew was probably one of the first coaches to reach out to me sophomore year whenever I was able to be in contact with college coaches. So, I mean, I've known Coach Drew for a very, very long time, and, you know, grew up in the same town, went to the same high school. He would tell you he had a better Bloomington South career, even though I think in my 3 years,
I still
did more than he did in my 3 years. But yeah, I mean, Coach Drew recruited me to Bradley, obviously. And then when I hopped in the portal here, he was obviously on top of me as well, recruiting me to Cincinnati. So, you know, known him and his dad for a very long time.
How much of your recent trip to Cincinnati did you kind of have in the back of your mind? I should probably, you know, get a good eye on this place just in case.
I mean, I wasn't really trying to think about things like that during the season, because that'll definitely distract you. But I mean, playing in that arena was a really special experience.
Dave,
when you were kind of, once you decided that you wanted to enter the portal, being an older guy, it's probably a little bit different than when you're getting recruited out of high school. What were kind of, obviously you had the connection to Coach Adams, but that wasn't probably going to be the only deciding factor. What were some of the things that you and your family kind of looked at as far as weighing options from teams reaching out, inquiring about right. your interest in them, and then kind of when it really came down to decision time of like, where are we going to visit? Who are we going to visit? Or, you know, the true finalist, so to speak, what was kind of your thought process going through all of that? Yeah.
Obviously being in the class of graduating 2021 in high school, I missed out on that extra year of eligibility. So I only have one more year left. I'm one of the few players nowadays in college basketball who only spans that 4-year career. So my last year, it was really important to me to find, a great coach and great coaches, you know, who are very, very connected and great people. And I thought that's kind of what I saw in Wes and his staff, and trusting Coach Drew, you know, he didn't lie to me when I came to Bradley, and he hasn't lied to me yet. So I didn't expect him to Cincinnati, you know, kept it real with me, told me what it was going to be and kind of what they saw in my role. But just with the pieces, I think that, you know, Cincinnati's bringing back this next year, you know, brought back most of the starters and key bench players as well. I really saw that as an opportunity to go somewhere and win, but not only be on, you know, a potential top 25 team, but also to be able to make a contribution to a top 25 team. Because I didn't want to go somewhere where I was going to, you know, just sit the bench or, you know, just be a straight, just pure catch and shoot shooter. Because I think my game offers a lot more than that. And I thought Cincinnati valued that a lot.
What did you get from playing against this roster in mm-hmm. terms of knowledge that you could use, you know, down the road, talent, how connected they were? Like, what was your yeah. impression on the floor against this group?
Well, kind of my first impression of all of them when they were playing together is that they liked to play together and they had a lot of fun, you know, just a lot. Obviously playing at home, you're going to be a little more loose and but you could just kind of see on their faces, you know, when they hit big shots and the way, you know, when you're out on the court, you can hear some of the interactions between them, and they seem like, you know, a kind of a close-knit group. And then you see things on the sideline too, like kind of how Coach West handles himself and the rest of the staff, you know, and I thought that was great as well. So
I was told from a good source that you saw a lot of maybe an older version of yourself in Wes. Was there kind of that like connection? I mean, you know, most people know, not everybody knows, like, he was a starting point guard at North Carolina. Right. Even though he was a walk-on. He won a national championship. Like, he's got a pretty good pedigree.
Pedigree, yeah.
Did you see the connection there?
You know, not during the game, obviously, but as I got to...
Yeah, as you got to know him.
As I got to know him, you know, he kind of reiterated it to me, and I kind of felt it as well, that, you know, we kind of had not necessarily the same journey, but we were kind of the same gritty player. Obviously, he kind of worked his way up a lot more than I did, going from walk-on to starting on a championship team. That's pretty impressive.
You were better than him from the starting point, is what you're saying.
You know, I don't know if I'm ready to openly just say that. Maybe after a few months on campus, I'll get a little more confidence and talk.
I'll ask you again later.
Yeah, but you know, just as far as being kind of an underrated player, I think we kind of, you know, in the dedication and hard work, I think we're kind of similar in that way.
When you mentioned earlier about, you know, wanting to be known as more of just like a catch and shoot guy, and you think you can contribute more, I guess just talk a little bit about your game as far as for UC fans that maybe aren't familiar or just know you from the game mm-hmm. that you had in the NIT. Like, what are some of the areas that you kind of pride yourself on? And then again, kind of being an older guy, where are you like, where are you in your game mm-hmm. as far as things that you think you can improve on or want to try to, you know, even if it's something you're good at, where do you think you can go even higher with it?
You know, a lot of the stuff I saw during the year from defense was a lot of people chasing me, a little bit of face guarding. So I wasn't getting those, you know, spot up wide open shots. And if I did, it was a very rare occurrence. I saw myself in a lot of different actions coming off handoffs and ball screens and pin downs for shots off the move and off the dribble. So I think I bring a lot of versatility in ways I can score and maybe ways you could use me as well. But I think an important part of basketball that really gets overlooked is intangibles that people bring to some teams. And being 3 years at Bradley, I the coaching staff here does a tremendous job in instilling in championship behaviors and habits in their players. And you see that with the success that their players have had now and have gone on to have. So I think, you know, I bring a lot of, you know, IQ and feel, but also, you know, a lot of, you know, like dedication, practice habits, and things like that, that, you know, can speak a lot of volumes to young players who are trying to, you know, develop their game. They see that maybe it's not so much about what you do on the court, but it's also how you carry yourself off the court. But this year I saw, you know, an increase in me in ball screens, handling the ball a lot more. Coach Wardle put me, let me play the one a little more as well. And I enjoyed that. But I think that's also an area I can improve, you know, playing with Aziz, getting better at throwing lobs to him. Because, you know, I did that some here with Darius. But, you know, Aziz is a tremendous lob threat. And if he sets you a good screen and he's open, you got to get them to make the – you got to throw to him to make the big man respect the role. So I think just my decision-making and pick on balls can be improved.
Go ahead, Dave. Make the joke.
I was just going to say you're probably already better than the guys throwing him lobs this year. So it was a bone of contention this season that you have no idea about. But, you know.
Well, they got used to in practice, like if you just throw it, Aziz will catch it.
And he's going to go get it, yeah.
And there's real defenders out there, and it's a little more difficult to just toss it up and
right.
plan on Aziz to go bring it home.
Right.
Let's talk about it. The two schools you visited, Cincinnati and Indiana, mm-hmm. you're a Bloomington guy. What was that pull of playing at IU? I know mm-hmm. you don't have to, you know, beat around the bush here with Cincinnati yeah. fans. You grew up in Bloomington. Like, you grew yeah. up with a passion for IU. Was it hard to make that decision to say, you know what, I'm gonna go to Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the harder decisions I've had to make in my life so far, because you want your last year to be the most successful one. And being from IU, obviously, I grew up watching the Hoosiers, grew up, you know, with the general feel and love for Indiana basketball. But it came down to, you know, I had to separate the emotional decision and the logical decision. And I think the emotional choice was IU, being an IU fan growing up. And then, you know, most of my family is there as well, hometown, a lot of people know me. And then, but I don't know if that was necessarily the best fit for me as far as winning and, you know, being a contributing piece to a team. And when it came to Cincy, I felt more valued, and I felt like, you know, I really had a spot to fill here, and they had more of a necessity for me. And that's probably, and this is where I was going to end up having the best chance of winning. So I kind of went with my logical choice, because I knew I'd end up being happier playing than not playing.
And you work out in a gym that's got IU pads on the wall. We've seen it.
yeah.
How much heat have you taken back home? Or you're still, you haven't been, I know you've been back a little bit, right? You haven't. How much heat are you going to take before you go to Cincinnati in this little window?
You know, probably keep my head low for a little bit in Bloomington. haven't heard anything yet. Just hoping people forget, but that probably is what will happen, but not too much.
Dave?
You're going from, you said grew up in Bloomington, mm-hmm. going to Bradley and Peoria. Now you're going to like the 180 degree difference from like a campus and city lifestyle. What are your thoughts kind of on that? And just, you know, how you are is, you know, I know we always talk about on the court, but like when we were hanging out with the guys, how was that and meshing with the team and everything and just having this kind of different city lifestyle that you're going to be now living for a year?
I would say my feeling towards Cincinnati being a bigger city, you know, kind of different lifestyle in Peoria. I'm very excited. There's a lot to do in Cincinnati. A lot of great restaurant spots. The Reds are there, the Bengals. I think there's just a lot of opportunities to kind of just enjoy what Cincinnati has to offer, where necessarily Peoria, you know, just factually just doesn't compare in terms of things to do. So I'm really looking forward to that.
What are the things to do in Peoria?
Not much.
Hope somebody invites you on a podcast.
Yeah, maybe go to one of the local professional hockey games where we play the Rivermen. So, but no, actually, surprisingly enough, people don't know this, but Peoria has a lot of great restaurants. It's actually a good food spot. Yeah, it's actually a good food spot.
One of the guys that kind of works for me lives in Peoria. He's a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah. So, He's always like, you want me to go over and get a scouting report on Hickman? I'm like, no, I think Drew's got it. I think Drew's pretty familiar with this game. Coming up through the ranks, playing for Indy Elite, one of the better, most, maybe top three, the most consistent AAU programs every year in the country.
Yeah.
How much did you see your game progress? Because I remember you a little bit back in those days.
Yeah.
You were kind of a spot-up shooter. Mm-hmm. And you've added so much more off the bounce and attacking closeouts. Yeah. And like you said, even able to handle the one. What was that like? I know you were on a good, they've always got good teams. You're on a good Indy Elite team. Kind of that younger progression of your game and experiencing the, I mean, high level tournaments every week, basically just, you know, testing yourself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you get better by playing the best competition, but I got to attribute most of my game development, you know, to Jordan Basie, who's a trainer back in Bloomington. He's very involved with Indiana Elite as well. And that's kind of where I got my start with Indiana Elite, was with him. And I've worked out with him since eighth grade, and he's developed my game to reaches that I didn't even know were possible as far as, you know, my shooting ability, but also my ability to create off the bounce. And like you said, in Indiana Elite, I really got most of my points off catch and shoot, because we had so many guys who were just so great, highly sought after, great players. But I saw myself throughout Indiana Elite play more point guard as the years went on, because my coach Jordan Basie, who was an assistant on there, he put me in more, you know, more actions like that. So that's where I started to get comfortable really handling the ball, was because of him.
Was Christian Lander 1 year behind you?
He was my grade, but then he played up on the older.
That's right.
Team.
That's right. Yeah. I'm always interested in this from a guy like you that was kind of right on that cusp, like that mid-major plus grade. If you didn't go high major, you were going to go to one of the really good mid-majors like you did in Bradley.
Right.
How much frustration is there when that big time offer you're looking for maybe doesn't, it could be Indiana in this case, that doesn't come through.
Right. It's pretty frustrating at first, but you know, I was a fairly self-aware person then, and I still am now. So I thought kind of my level would be around Bradley, maybe a little bit higher coming out of high school, but I knew I was going to get those high major looks, but you know, unfortunately COVID took that chance away, and then I hurt my shoulder. But you know, being very self-aware, I thought mid-major was maybe my level, but I always thought, but then, you know, after playing Indiana Elite against those top guys, I was like, man, like, no, I can play at the level that these guys are getting recruited to if they're going to those. But unfortunately, you know, I didn't get that chance to kind of get those offers, because I think I really would have gotten them my senior year if COVID didn't hit. But now, you know, just getting the opportunity to kind of get 1 year now to be able to do that, you know, it's very important to me.
Anywhere in the Big 12 that you have your eye on, excited to go play this next year?
I've heard and seen that Iowa State gets pretty rowdy playing away at there. Trying to think what else. Kansas, Allen Fieldhouse, I think everyone wants to go play there, but I'm not sure if we're going there this next
year. We went last year. I went last year. That
How was it?
It's really cool.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's kind of like Assembly in that it's old. They've upgraded Assembly, I think, a little bit more, where Kansas has kind of just like been hands off, like this is what the place is. I mean, you're like, it's a field house and you're sitting at the top and literally, like, you know, there's usually room above you. Like, you can reach up and touch dresses the
wow, that's
on crazy. The roof. So like it was a really cool place to watch a game. Wow. Very cool.
I think those two would be probably, from what I've heard and seen, probably be the two, you know, craziest places to play at.
Maybe Arizona?
Oh, yeah, I guess I forgot about that.
Now they're in?
Yeah.
20 league games, so it's quite a gauntlet.
Yeah.
For those that might not know, though, how good is the Valley?
The Valley
is better than people think.
It's definitely
some people.
A lot better than people think. It may not be the flashiest athletic basketball, but man, like the Valley guards and the Valley scouts, it is a tough out every night, and people might not, you know, see that because they don't see as many, you know, great athletes and such, but it's definitely a smart league. It's a lot of IQ in this league. So if you don't play smart every night, somebody might get you.
Real quick too. Mm-hmm. Matt wants to know who all was on your Indy Elite team.
So Trey Kaufman, who's at Purdue, JR, I'm sorry, I can never pronounce your last name, but JR Kaninsky, maybe he's at Notre Dame. Jaden Taylor's at NC State. Jaden Brewer, he was at FIU. I think he's in the portal now. Jalen Gibson, who's at Eastern Illinois. Trying to think. I don't want to forget anybody. I think that's it for right. Oh, Logan Duncombe, who's at Winthrop now.
You guys were better than Spies, of course, right?
We played them my junior year in like a game up in Indy because obviously COVID wasn't permitting travel, and we beat them by 24.
See?
That's what I'm talking about. Something like that.
That was always I every year I go up, have mostly gone up to Run and Slam, mm-hmm. Up in Fort Wayne, and they'd always find a way to pit you two guys together at like every level.
Talk about a cool gym, a cool venue to play at.
Well, it's done. They closed it. Yeah, I know. They sold it. So sad.
It's pickleball courts now, isn't it?
Yeah. That place was, you know, you had the four college courts and then the four high school courts all next to each other bunched up. And
yeah,
I saw actually, so I don't know if you've heard Anthony Davis's story where going into the summer before his senior year, he grew like 9 inches.
Okay.
His junior year.
Yeah.
So when he first showed up to play AAU, it was at Spies. He was playing for Mean Streets.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Just a 6'11 guy flying around blocking shots. And a guy named Dave Tellup, who is now, I think he runs scouting for the Spurs, but at this time he was a high school scouting guy.
Yeah.
Had to send somebody over to the book to get his name out of the scorebook because he wasn't on the roster.
Wow.
And then we're all just trying to figure out who the hell is Anthony Davis? Yeah. And then like 3 weeks later, everybody was like, oh, he's the number one player in the class.
Wow.
I saw a bunch. Spies before the school league started or the shoe league started.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would go to Spies, like the New York Gauchos.
Yeah.
Like it was a national tournament.
Wow, yeah.
And then once the shoe league started, then it just became kind of the Midwest.
Right. You had guys like Mike Conley and Greg Oden playing.
Right.
Playing there a lot, yeah.
No, like Seattle Rotary on the EYBL used to come in. There were New York teams that came in. Like it was the equivalent of like a shoe circuit event now.
Yeah.
But when all that started, it ended up just being Mean Streets and Indy Elite and Spies and Macker.
That tournament when I was in high school was the only place you could play. You would really get to play
other teams. Yeah. Anything else, Dave?
I think I'm good. I don't know. Did you have anything?
Did you see this comment?
Yeah, look both ways. Yeah. Streets can be dangerous out there.
Did you hear
that
story?
Yeah.
CMOS got hit by a car.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then, like, a week later, he was back. Because I'm pretty sure he's a robot, but.
You know. I think he's got a good sense of humor for being a robot, then.
He does. He's got a very dry, sharp sense of humor.
He's very witty. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. Mike Rehfeldt, give us your impressions of the strength and conditioning program you're about to enter.
He knows what he's talking about. That's for sure. He's given out some workouts to do in the off season. I've been doing them and they honestly feel great. Kind of given his resume when I was there, some people in the strength and conditioning community that I've talked to speak very, very highly of him. And he definitely seems like he knows his stuff. I'm super excited to get to work with him.
It's one of the few strength conditioning coaches you'll ever meet that's not a meathead.
Yeah.
Like he's actually very, very smart.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got from him, just very knowledgeable.
Yeah, He doesn't drink four monsters and then walk in, you know,
tell you to lift the heaviest weight you can lift.
Yeah. No, he's really cerebral about it. So I think you'll really enjoy it. All right, man. Well, it was great to get that first conversation in. I appreciate you talking to Keegan and getting some content up for the website when you committed. Yeah. And you'll be here, what, late May, early June?
Yeah, sounds right.
All right. I'll see you on campus, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Connor. There you go.
Yeah,
Connor you. Hickman, newest Bearcat, as we get the show jump started. And there you go, Dave. One of the new guys.
That's right.
Sharp kid. Which is, you know, he knows the truth, so it's surprising a little bit.
Yeah. I mean you surround yourself with people that make you look even smarter than you are.
So yeah, I mean, we'll get to that here in a second. We'll timestamp that. Brought to you by Turtles Brew, zero sugar, zero carbs, gluten free, bourbon infused sweet tea. It's got lemonade tea, cherry lime, strawberry mint, raspberry peach, orange vanilla. Visit turtlesbrew.com for more information and locations. And now they are out in 12 ounce pouches. You can buy either a one or a five pack from our good friends at Turtles Brew.
We have a new listener tonight, by the way. I've been told that young William is watching live.
Hi, Will.
So yeah, hi, buddy. Hope to see you tomorrow. Miss you.
Do you think he's sitting next to your mom, going, "Grandma, grandma, 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 grandma"?
No. He just keeps saying hi, Daddy. So.
He hasn't grasped yet that you can't hear him?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Well, Will, I've got news for you. Your dad's kind of famous for being on the internet, and that's not usually a good thing, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Basketball stuff. I mean, really, the only thing to talk about is it appears Cincinnati has an eye on Sean Stewart. I'm pretty confident a visit will happen. I'm not going to go as far as some have to put specific dates out yet, because I think there's, you know, it's the portal, man. I'm gun shy on reporting anything until almost like after it happens.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, yes, we would love to, but like, I guess kind of like, let's just say he's visiting Friday and Saturday. What's the difference in tonight being like the expectation is he's visiting Friday or Saturday versus just waiting until you know he's here on Friday and just saying he's on campus?
That's really where I'm at in a
like,
lot
I
of ways.
I kind of just don't see now. Like what the big difference is. Like, great, you told me that's the expectation, but I know that could still change. So just tell me when it's real. Like,
I'm of the same mindset. I know others disagree, and they want every rumor, every piece of morsel of anything that might be out there. And to them, I will just say this, Dave. When it's not your reputation on the line, of course you do. The way that the internet is now, if I get a bunch of stuff wrong, you know what I'm going to hear about every day? You're never right. You're never, if I just post what I hear, like as soon as I hear it.
Just like, but it's also like for your own sanity of like, I'm just going to post the stuff that I am as about 100% positive.
Right.
As accurate as I can. Not like, you know, I'm told that we're working on it, and then you post they're working on it, and then 2 days later, hey, Chad, has it been confirmed? Well, if it had been confirmed, I would have said it was confirmed. But now you're like answering to a bunch of questions, and then it doesn't happen, and then it's like, well, what happened? And then you say, Well, I said, you know, it's looking like it, but that doesn't mean that I didn't say that it was going to happen. You know, and I'm not just talking about the Sean Stewart. This is just covering the stuff in general. I mean,
oh, I've got a story.
You have how many kids in football who are either transferring, like, back in the portal 3 months after they already went to one school, or in, like, some cases now I've seen the running back from Miami, Ohio, who transferred to Mississippi State, but hasn't actually gone there yet, is now apparently going to go to Ole Miss.
Yes.
So, like, why were, you know, like, when all this stuff is just so out of your control and can change 10 minutes after you report something, like, just, I know it's not great for like, from a message boardy recruiting standpoint, but, like, just we report what we know. And if we don't know, we're not going to, like, couch that by trying to, like, mince words. We're just not going to say anything.
Right. I would rather be certain. And guess what? Sometimes when you're certain, you still end up being wrong in this ridiculous time that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, April every month, every year is just going to be a shit show, given the current calendar.
I mean, if the calendar stays the same with basketball and football happening at the same time, and from a spring portal standpoint, and we'll get into the, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the spring portal for football after we cover.
Keegan made a great point today that I want to get to later. I want to credit him for it because I thought it was, like, other people have beat around the bush, but I think he said it succinctly.
Where did he say
remind
this?
Me that later? Just on text. We were talking on the phone today, and I was like, you know what? That's a really good, like, side of it that we haven't discussed.
Gotcha.
But anywho, there was a player. This is a perfect example. There was a player that I really thought Cincinnati would make a run at in the portal. When I first heard the possibility that this person was going into the portal, I verified through a couple different things. It looked like that was a name to keep an eye on for Cincinnati. And then the player goes in the portal, and the person running the recruitment wouldn't let anybody talk to said player. And for a guy that you don't know, guess what you kind of need to do if you're a coaching staff?
Like, talk to him.
Figure out what the kid's about, what he's looking for. What
that to me tells me that the guy you're handling it had already, like, basically handpicked where he was going to go.
I think it was probably, and yeah, I think that's probably correct ultimately. But so you go from a situation where you know they're going to, you know, be interested in the kid and try to make a move. And then you can't talk to the kid for like 10 days. You're attempting to speak to the kid and you can't get to the kid. So what do you think you're going to do there, Dave? Are you going to push forward? Or are you going to go try to find, because.
Right. I mean, you're not going like, to bang
if
your
you're
head.
Right. If you're right, you can't get that kid. No matter how hard you try, there's probably already something in play that's beyond your control. So then when Cincinnati doesn't pop up as a school that is pushing hard, I look bad because I said they were going to push for the kid. I know why they stopped pushing for the kid. But in the moment, that's not something you really want to put out there until maybe after the fact.
Yeah.
So it's after the fact. I don't mind it as much. It's some situations, and especially, I mean, here's what people I don't think know about Sean Stewart. You know, his dad played 8 years in the NBA.
I did not.
Yeah. Yogi Stewart is a backup big man for 8 years in the NBA.
I'm not familiar with his game.
I am not either. Somebody mentioned it on the board, so I looked it up, and sure as hell enough, he played from like 97 to like 2005, 2006. It's like, huh, I'll be damned. So guess what? This is a family that knows the deal. Yeah. Not only is their son supremely talented, but he's got a support system that is very in touch with how things work and what coaches are telling you and whether they're full of shit or whether they're telling you the truth or, you know, what are they looking for academically? What are they looking for in terms of NIL and not maybe not just like a basic sign this, but like what are opportunities in the community? What are your majors? What are, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And when you're dealing with a family that is savvy to the entire way that all of it works, maybe you handle it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I just think it's from our standpoint, from the fan standpoint, I think it's much harder just to get a read on things because, like, Sean Stewart's a five-star. He went through the whole
– yeah.
I'm not going to call it a dog and pony show, but, like, he went through the whole, like, everybody wants me.
And, he was recruited at the absolute highest level.
And I'm getting told anything and everything, some of it true, probably some of it not true, to try to convince me to go to this school or that school or whatever. And I've done all of that. How does that – I mean, it might not change at all. And this, right. the process that they used to determine that he was going to go to Duke could be the exact same process they determine – where he's going to transfer to. But we on the outside don't know that as what, you know, we don't see that as much. I'm not as the old time where you really couldn't transfer. And if you did, you had to sit out and like just the priorities and the process and the people involved. I mean, God, who knows how many different people are involved now and who the right person is that you need, like, finding out who the decision makers are in this process has to be so just hair pulling and annoying. And it's like, mom and dad love me, but mom and dad aren't the ones that are like have the kids right. here. It's
somebody else has.
It's some random dude that that like has been his boy for, you know, ever, or that he works out with, or, you know, it's actually the uncle that is the one. So that part's got to be. From a coach's standpoint, because you want it, coaches want it black and white, cut and dry. Tell me who I need to talk to, and I'll go talk to them. And you feel like you probably get a whole bunch of runaround in these situations. Not every kid, obviously, but, you know, it's certainly not as much of a, I would say, clean process as maybe it used to be.
Hypothetically speaking, we'll move into hypothetical mode now. Is Sean Stewart somebody you think that takes this roster up a notch if he were to be added?
I mean, that's a hard question for me to answer because, like, I would be looking at it strictly as, like, a novice.
Or
like,
stats, yeah.
Five-star, went to Duke. So, like, yes. But is it... And, you know, I mean, I would think yes, because of an athletic, from an athletic profile standpoint, you know, like, I think anytime you add a guy that seems to have the athletic profile that he has, that should help you. That's, I mean,
right.
From a roster standpoint, I think it would give them some of those mixing and matching lineups that we've kind of talked about over the last month, you know, can go small but have an athletic big, can go, you know, more big. You know, I think it just gives him more options. I think, and I mean, honestly, I hope he comes here and I hope he's incredible and he goes to the NBA. But I think I would be more intrigued and more excited about adding him for 2025 potentially. Then maybe what I would see as the immediate payoff of adding him in 2024, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. I think in a situation where he would get more minutes than he got last year, like we would be talking about him as, like, let's say he went to, name a power five level school where he goes in and is able to get
25 minutes a game.
Not even 25, like 17, 8, like what just kind of in the range Jizzle got.
Right.
I think we'd be talking about him as one of the best big man options in the portal.
Was he like around 11 minutes or so?
Yeah, I mean, he was behind Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah.
So there just weren't going to be a lot of minutes, you know.
No, I agree.
So
I think that's why it's hard too. It's hard for me to say like how like I would say on one hand I'd be like he better make roster better.
Right.
On the other hand, I'm like, I mean, it's hard for me to say because, like you said, he'd probably be playing more minutes. He'd probably be playing maybe some different, like, different combination type things than just coming in strictly to give one specific guy kind of a break. And, you know, and how that works out. And, you know, your second year, we all, you know, college coaches, pro, I mean, whatever, they always talk about the jump from the first year to the second year, and granted it would be in a potentially new system, but yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of guy that is the type of player that I was hoping that they would be able to land if it wasn't going to be that, like, two volume, like, scoring guy.
Right. I have been fortunate enough that because he played with Jizzle, I got to watch him quite a bit. So, you know, that was, and at the time, obviously, like, he was committed to Duke. I wasn't watching him with an eye on Cincinnati at that point in time. But he was a guy that was just constantly impacting the game.
Mm-hmm.
And at that level, like in AAU, of course, it's going to be with points just because he's physically so much better than everybody else that he plays on an average basis. But doing things for him that resulted in points are still things that connect, that translate into rebounding and hustle and blocking shots and being the type of guy that teammates love playing with. Yeah. I think the fascinating thing, if you do get a Sean Stewart, is kind of what you hinted at, not necessarily this year, but next year, if you have potentially a front court of him, Arrington Page, Tyler McKinley, and Tyler Betsy, like, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Because we saw this year what having an offensively challenged front court, the type of pressure it can put on everybody around them. And while I don't think either Stewart or Page are post up back to the basket, you know, right. They are guys that, and I've talked about this a couple times, and Stewart's the same way, very similar to Page. Their hands, the way that they catch in transition. I was talking to somebody today and talked about this. Like, what is that reaction when you know you got a guy that has a big, that has questionable hands, that's running the middle of the floor on the fast break?
Don't throw him the ball.
Right. You see the guard throw it to him, and you're like, oh.
No, what's the only one? Know who you're passing to.
Right. Oh, there's a turnover. I love having long, athletic bigs that can run and have good hands. It just changes so much, as opposed to a guy that's got to catch it and gather his feet and then gather his body and then make a move towards the basket. No, give me a guy that snatches that thing out of the air and is already on his way to dunk
it. One motion, catch, move the ball, jump. Dunk in one fluid motion.
Yes. What would your starting lineup be with Stewart? I think he'd still, I mean, I obviously I'd have to see him I haven't seen him in a year and a half or whatever it's been. I'd have to see him here and what he looks like here. I would guess still Jizzle, Day-Day, Hickman, two of the three start at the 1 and 2. And then Dan at 3, CMOS at 4, Aziz at 5. And then, I mean, Day-Day, CJ, Ravon, or whatever that next guy in behind Dan at the 3 is. And then Stewart and Paige. I think that would be a pretty fun second unit to see on the floor as well.
Yeah. I think so. It would be. It just gives you some, you know, I think it just gives you some things to play around with. Not that you would, I mean, you're going to fall into your 2 or 3 ones that you know you can do. It's not like, oh, let's see if this guy can do, you know, you're not mixing right and matching all game long, but like, the more, you know, the more athletes, just straight athletes you can get, it covers up, maybe, you know, it allows you to maybe take some, not risks, but like, you know, this guy can play this spot for a few minutes, and where then it allows somebody else to have a major advantage by right shifting somewhere, because we now know that this player can hold his own here for a little bit while this other guy gets a huge advantage. I mean, I don't know. Just give me all the bouncy, traitsy dudes, and then some guys that can fill it up.
Is Stewart like KJ Adams? Oof. I think he's taller. I think he's more athletic. But I think I don't hate that there are some comparisons to be made there. Although I would say, I think Stewart, you could much easier play at the 5 than you could KJ Adams.
What about like a Herb Jones from Alabama?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see similarities there.
Like not as tall. And I mean, this is a very, very high praise, but like Evan Mobley, like athletically and like,
yeah, I mean,
Mobley's like almost 7 or 4. He's like a 7-footer, right? Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's, and I'm throwing these names out without really watching any of, you know, I'm just trying to think of like the more athletic, you know, bigs that have been successful. And because yeah, we're not talking about the Edies and Clingins and stuff like that.
No, he's not 7'6". That, you know, anybody that's 7'6" is a real problem, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Especially if they're coordinated and they can run and catch. So yeah, there are things I agree with on KJ Adams in terms of like style of play, but like different players, if that makes sense. I don't know. I don't really have anything else on basketball. Do you?
No.
If there's a visit, I will let you know as soon as I am comfortable letting you know. Let's get into some football talk. Football talk, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Team Ticker. You're going to be upset, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, Team Tickers, they're going to take the summer off.
Oh.
So, they've asked for you to send back the unopened Team Ticker.
Oh, definitely not unopened.
Aaron suggested we give it away in like a prize giveaway for a listener.
Yeah.
We give away Dave's Team Ticker. But they've been great to us, and hopefully they will be back on board as we get back into football season. But for now, it's our last, I believe this is our last episode. We might have, I think this is it with Team Ticker. So go to teamticker.com if you want this discount. This is your last chance here to get this discount. Enter the code BCJ24 and you will get, or just BCJ, sorry, just BCJ, and you will get $50 off of your purchase of Team Ticker. Crypt Keeper, the funny thing is, Dave was not talking about Cincinnati Herb Jones. He was talking about Alabama Herb Jones.
Yeah.
Different guys. So yeah, $50 off, promo code BCJ. This week is the last week to get it. So make sure, if you're on the fence like Chelsea, just do it. Stu won't mind. Yes, he will. Don't. I'm just kidding. Don't put that on me. Chance that I can do it. I already see it coming, Dave. But yeah, make sure if you've been wanting to get one, right now is the time to do it with your $50 off promo code. That also is another timestamp brought to you by Turtles Brew. 6% ABV. And the pouches, Dave. I can't wait to get my hand on one of these pouches. 12-ounce pouches. It's like an adult Capri Sun.
Who doesn't love that? It.
Right. Who doesn't like? I still, Kelsey likes taking them for lunch. I got Capri Suns out in the driveway.
Don't let her accidentally take one to school for lunch.
Well, no, they're out there, so I just go get one if I want one.
No, I mean, of the Turtles Brew. What if she accidentally grabs one of those?
That's a bigger pouch than the little one. Don't blame me, Chelsea. Don't blame me. Knock it off. Zero sugar, zero carbs, gluten-free, bourbon-infused sweet tea. Over 100 locations now in Ohio. Visit turtlesbrew.com for more information and locations. It is not my fault, Chelsea. Relax. But you should get yourself a Team Ticker before the promo code ends. football, we are in the spring portal window. I know you have said it on Twitter. I agree. It hasn't been all that exciting.
I said it on Twitter. I said it on the board.
Oh, you said it on the board. Yeah. It's all.
I know.
It blends. I'll just bless. But it hasn't been a wild and crazy spring cycle like everybody has predicted, at least to date.
There was certainly some anticipation from some folks in the industry that it was going to be just insanity. And there's certainly been a high volume of players, and there's been some top-end talents that have entered the portal, but you know, if maybe I just read the way that it was being foreshadowed wrong, but I just haven't seen like the quality and really the quantity that a lot of people that should know those things or potentially know those things was alluding to. It very much feels like not across the board, but a high percentage of these spring portal entries have kind of been like bottom third of rosters, and you know, I'm not going to speculate from each school, but you know, I mean, hey, if you're getting NIL now and there's a portal now, like you wanted agency, that means that the coaches get agency too.
Yeah, and guess what? You're just coming out of spring ball. Everything is pretty much laid out for everybody right now as to how 2024 is going to look.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been in a program for at least 2 years and certainly 3 years, and you didn't get a lot of reps in the spring, either you need to open your eyes and probably assess your situation, or the coaches are going to open them for you. And that's just the hard reality of it. I mean, you see a lot. I've seen a lot of that. You know, it's very interesting to watch and kind of read between the lines of how some of these tweets are being sent. You know, if a kid's transferring, and the tweet is only really about like where he was in the 2021 class.
Where he was rated in the 2021
class. Yeah, a four-star in the 2021 class. Oh, well, great. We're in 2024.
2025 kids are commit, like half of the class is filled up in 2025 already.
Or it's like, you know, they give you a bunch of stats, but then you do some digging and you realize he's a fifth year guy who when you break it down, averages like 15 catches and one touchdown a season.
Right.
So there is certainly a lot of, again, agency and agents, you know, probably leading to, you know, a lot of favors being done on how they want their guys to be presented to the public. And I think, you know, it's been very, very quiet on UC's end. I'm not surprised at that at all. You're looking, you know, you're looking for certain types of guys. You're looking for multi-year guys. You're looking for guys that you can develop, and you're hoping that their best football is ahead of them. Not, I wouldn't say even behind them, but that they're not a finished product. They've not plateaued. You know, I saw a guy, I think he was at UCF. And he's leaving UCF. And someone tweeted that he's been at 5 schools in 5 semesters.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, if you're on your thirds, like, yeah, I'm not going to, like, cast away anybody without digging. But, like, if you're on your third school and you still got, like, 2 years of eligibility left, that's probably on you.
Right.
But you're probably not the best dude to be around.
Right.
You know, so there's
very true.
There's a lot that kind of goes into this, and everybody says they, you know, we want the right kind of guys and blah 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 blah.
You have no idea.
Yeah, we all hear the same song and dance, but like, I don't know, it has not been the whirlwind and the craziness that I think maybe we were led to believe a little bit. And the portal closes, what, basically a week from today or tomorrow?
The first.
Yeah, a week from today. So it's closed to entering. It's not by any means closed to making a decision. So we'll kind of see how it goes. I mean, the Bearcats added Max Fletcher, since the last time we talked, brother of Mason, Keegan reported that he will redshirt, which redshirting as a punter has to be like the most sweet thing ever.
Phenomenal.
Knowing that I still have 3 years. And knowing that, like, I'm the dude next year when my brother leaves, like, has to be the most fun. Like, I cannot imagine how much fun that would
be. I just get to come hang out, kick some balls, and practice.
Because, like, I ain't lifting a lot of weights. So it's not like I got to do this. Like, I mean, I'm lifting the weights, but not a lot of them.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's got to be a pretty sweet gig.
I think you would agree with me too. I think it speaks a lot to the culture that, like, how these guys see the culture. Like,
for sure. I mean, he was a very good punter his freshman year, so I'm sure he had options of like other.
No, I think last year he averaged 46.7 yards a punt.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I mean, he played 2 years at Arkansas.
Two. Okay, so
remember he was the starting punter
when
UC played there 2 seasons ago. Right.
Yeah. I mean, he could
have redshirt and then have 2 years left after that.
He could have gone places and walked right into that.
Anywhere he wanted.
Role, I'm sure. So, yeah, I mean, but the opportunity to, like, you're from Australia, the opportunity to be on the same team as your brother, I mean, I think that pulls pretty damn hard.
Sure. Sure.
And then there's some other things happening that we hope to be able to speak about, you know, soon, but
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This is what I was going to get to that Keegan said to me that I think will be interesting to hear your take on. Like, it used to be coaches didn't want something out because all of a sudden a bigger school may, like, you know, just the cachet of a bigger school may offer.
Yeah, I mean, I think was it when Fickell, like, they had a kid, an offensive lineman committed that they wanted to keep quiet, and it somehow got out or whatever, and he ended up going to Pitt or something? Was that, am I remembering that correctly or something? I feel like.
I think that's right, yeah.
So, but it was more so of just like, we don't want the bigger schools, the quote unquote bigger schools, to know, because then they'll be like, well, why is this kid going to Cincinnati? We should be, you know, what are we missing, type of thing. And then they just play the AAC card and stuff like that.
Now you know what it could mean, Dave?
Yeah, I do.
It could mean an extra $25,000. It could mean an extra $50,000. Depending on who watches the tape, it could mean an extra $100,000.
Well, it's like, yeah, and you told me you'd give me this much, but now this team's interested. So if you want me to stay here, here's the new price.
Right. And nothing matters until they're on campus.
And that's how you go into credit card debt.
Right. And let's face it, Cincinnati has a good NIL. They do not have a great NIL. They do not have an NIL where they can just be like, oh, so we're in a bidding war? Yeah, okay, here's an extra $75,000.
We're just doubling what we, you know, what we said we would. And now we're shorting ourselves somewhere else.
And look, if you know how this business works, you know people pay attention to recruiting departments they respect, guys they respect. This recruiting department has worked a lot of big name places. So people are watching. So you have to be careful with it. Because if you can get across the finish line, and Dave, it's not just with one kid. Like, this could happen with four or five kids. And now that $25,000 is $250,000.
Right. If every kid turns into a 15% hike, that adds up quick.
Very quick. Very, very quick. You still kind of look at this thing and focus on the same spots, I think. Corner, offensive line.
Offensive line, defensive line, corner. That's kind of what I'm seeing.
Wide receiver, I think, is they'd like to add another.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you always do. I mean, it's like any it's, you know. Can you get more wide receivers? Yes, I'll take them.
I mean, that's the nice thing about wide receivers is there's always wide receivers out there. That's where the 5'10 guys play. There's a lot of us short guys out there that don't get a chance at O-line, D-line. The small, fast ones play wide receiver.
For sure.
Reggie, do you have much more on UC football? I really don't. I don't have a whole lot left.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty quiet right now. I mean, your spring ball's over. They're portaling, but they're not in any.
Not openly portaling.
Well, and they don't have to, like, the roster is kind of, I wouldn't say set. I mean, but a lot of the guys they lost are kind of fit into some of those categories that I just mentioned. So we're not in this like mad dash to be like, we got to get in on the dudes that we know can come in and like give us whatever number of snaps at a position because we have a major deficiency there. I'm not saying that they're not trying to get guys that can compete for starting jobs, but it's not like, oh my God, we need a running back. We don't have anybody that's ever carried the ball in college football. Like, we got to go get a dude that we know can carry it 200 times a year. Right. So, yes, Randy, I saw that today. Mark your calendars, like, Stadium.
After a couple of years on the team, it no longer matters how many stars you were as a recruit. I mean, it never has. Like, once you get here, that doesn't matter anymore.
Right. But that's now, the way. But that's the way that it's presented when guys are leaving, because you don't. No, you don't. They're not tweeting. So and so is transferring from such and such school. After being we were wrong about his rating, and 3 years right. later, he hasn't seen the field. No, they're gonna say he was a 4-star. Like, maybe he
after being a 4-star in 2021, he can't even get snaps on special teams.
Like, yeah, either he was never a 4-star, or maybe he was in high school, but then he certainly isn't anymore. So why are you telling me that he was a 4-star 3 years ago? Because that's not who he is now. But that also will not ever keep me from sending the exact same tweets.
Of course. Because 2021 4-star. Because
everyone listening and everyone that follows Bearcat Journal will then like it or retweet it.
Right.
So, but at least I'm telling you
we're open about it.
The sausage that's being made, when I send that out.
Exactly. Other college news, Dave, Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back.
It's wonderful. He never should have lost it.
Somebody said they should give him OJ's Heisman too. Just to make up for lost time.
Yeah.
I mean, just silly. The things, the loops that college sports forced us to mentally jump through over the years is hilarious. And I mean, come on. But his family got to stay in a nice house in LA while he was playing for USC.
Yeah.
I think they earned that. I think he was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he brought enough money into the school for somebody to let his mom stay in their nice Beverly Hills mansion or whatever the hell it was that they got to stay in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't have a whole lot on that. I just was interested in hearing your take on it.
I like how what did they say? Like, in light of the changes in college football, Reggie Bush and his parents got isn't really that big of a deal. Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal back then, man. Like,
you just made us believe, or tried to make us believe, that amateurism was an actual thing.
Right.
And that it was unfair because he got it and nobody else did. Well, yeah, he's the most electric player in the country. He deserved more than everybody else.
I just think it's funny how how the NCAA chooses to, like, I don't know if litigate's the right word, but, like, all those things happen in, like, taking away the Heisman, like, I guess because he went pro or whatever, like, you couldn't really.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what else the NCAA didn't do that, though. It's the Heisman Trust.
Yeah, that's true. It's not, yeah. Which makes it even more funny. It's like, that's the thing that you guys decide to take a Heisman away for?
Right. All the guys that have a Heisman, that's the one guy that gets his Heisman taken away?
That have done, maybe some things.
As somebody said, one of the other Twitter posts I saw today, somebody was like, as soon as when OJ died and the Heisman Trust did that, like, tribute to his life,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh yeah, Reggie's getting his Heisman back.
Yeah. Yeah. We all should have been on top of that one.
Unbelievable. Any of the new stuff that's come out on NIL or whatever interest you at all? Schools are now allowed to broker deals for players. We talked about it extensively last night on the Nightcap. Does everybody want a Dave segment here at the end of this show? We've only gone an hour. I'm doing so. Just Dave's got a lot going on.
I want to talk about golf.
Okay, go ahead.
Obviously, the Big 12, first Big 12 championship this year. Ty Gingrich finishes T1. went on a nice little birdie run on his, I guess, fifth, something like that. Made a bogey kind of halfway through his back nine, then followed up with three straight birdies to take the lead, part his last two holes. Buddy from TCU comes out of freaking nowhere, birdies three holes in a row to tie him. And then freshman from Oklahoma State birdies the 18th, which is one of the hardest holes on the course. In a crazy, I mean, like being a freshman, you're in the final group. You probably know at that point that you need to make a birdie to tie to win, you know, to be a co Big 12 champion. And you have one of the hardest holes on the golf course, and he sticks one to about 10 feet and then makes the putt. Like, that's some serious stones. They were already going to make the NCAA tournament because they finished in the top three, but still, there's no individual playoff for the individual title. But I mean, UC's first year in the Big 12, we talked last year about how the golf team might have been best positioned to compete in the Big 12. I would, I think Doug would probably say it was a somewhat disappointing spring, but outside of a, and I have not had a chance to listen to any of the little videos that they've shot, but they played three really good rounds, and out of somewhere, just out of nowhere, had an absolutely disastrous second round on, I guess, Monday. They played 36 on Monday, 18 yesterday, 18 today. Shot like 18 over just in that round, and were 6 under in the other three rounds. So they ended up finishing 12 over as a team. Ninth place, Ryan Ford finished tied in the top 15 at even. So I think all in all, I mean, yes, the second round was bad, but I think that's a pretty damn good showing that your first year you bring home an individual team championship and outside of one round played pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, we knew Doug had a really good group, but maybe not as good as he had heading into the spring last year in terms of depth.
Yeah, I mean, he lost a very, 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 you know, one, I'd say one of the handful of best players to ever play at the university. So,
I mean, somebody today might have a claim. He's got a Big 12 individual title.
Yeah, I mean, his name is escaping me right now, but he won a lot of tournaments last year and was the catalyst of that team making the NCAA tournament. But Ty gets to go to the NCAA tournament now as an individual, so that's pretty sweet. So we'll see where he ends up going. I'm not sure how they do the like bracketing for the individuals, if they all send them all to one site or if they get spread around like the teams do.
Right.
So I mean, UC will have representation in the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. So that's certainly a selling point to transfers. I think they still have a fairly young team. So we'll see what happens from there.
Yep. What else you got?
Juwan Briggs, NFL draft starts tomorrow. I fully expect him to get picked. I would say high-end fifth round, low-end seventh round. I think it's a weak defensive tackle class as a whole, which could potentially help him. I think when you get into these later rounds, his character and personality, I feel like someone is going to say, this is a differentiator for us.
Right.
And if we're looking for a D tackle in the fifth round or the sixth round, we've got these two guys. We feel very, very comfortable with this person on our team. Even if maybe this guy maybe has more upside or better measurables, or, but like this guy we feel like can make our team, can be a practice squad guy if we need him to be. I know we all joke around about, like, why don't the Bengals take more Bearcats? This is one I could absolutely see them taking late on, like, on Saturday. They have a need at defensive tackle. They probably need to take two. And Mike Brown, I think, has a very, 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 very high opinion of Juwan Briggs.
What gave it away? The fact that Mike Brown, who doesn't talk to anybody, came over and like...
Well, the fact that after the local pro day workout, the bus was being held for 20 minutes with every other guy on the bus, which they could have just got off and walked over to the stadium. It's literally like across the street.
Sure.
But the bus was waiting for him because he was still talking to Mike.
Right.
So like I just said, in those situations, like fifth round, sixth round, who do we take? Let's take the guy that the owner really, really, really likes.
Right.
And feels very, very comfortable with and everything like that. So that is certainly one that the need and the person and the backstory certainly fits something that I could see happening.
From the Bengals side of things, we have a lot of Bengals fans here. I know. They respect
it's draft. It's draft day, baby. Tomorrow. See, tonight now, I've got a – this is – my whole week has been a mess. Like, tonight is usually when I watch Draft Day, which is an absolutely terrible, awesome movie. But every year before, the night before the draft, I watch Draft Day. So I'm going to see if I can figure out a way to get some work done after this and still watch it. And then I love the NFL draft. But yeah, what were you
going to say? I guess there's going to be no draft drinking game this year.
No, I was supposed to go to Nashville tomorrow and we were going to play, but that. Someone had to go to the hospital.
For days.
Yeah.
Like I said, you've only got about 94, 95, 96 days.
I already crossed the line of like Rachel being like, stop being an ass. It's okay. It's only been 3 days. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I want answers. I want out of here.
That didn't work for me.
Well, your situation's slightly different than my situation.
A little, just a little. I know. I'm just kidding. What do you got for the Bengals? Is it going to be Murphy? Is it going to be a tackle? Everybody's favorite, Brock Bowers.
I mean, I personally would love Brock Bowers. I don't think there's any way he makes it that far. I also love Byron Murphy. I don't think there's any way he makes it that far. I think they would like to get a tackle. It sounds like, I mean, again, I try not to, I mean, I love all the draft rumors, but like this morning I tweeted that this time last year, Will Levis was going in the top five. Like the Tuesday, Wednesday before the draft, he was going in the top five. So like, please take all of that stuff with a grain of salt. You know, I love all these reporters that come out and share these things, but it's like, so... And they're getting it from – so the way that it typically works is team guy is not telling reporter what they're going to do. He's telling reporter about the conversations that he's had with other teams and what they want to do. So I'm supposed to believe that, but not right. but not believe the other – like this other stuff that you're telling. So I love it. I read it. I consume it, but I believe none of it. I think they're just going to do what they always do and stay at their pick and pick the best player that's there. And if one of the tackles that they like is there, great. If not, then they're not going to force it. And, you know, as a pure Bengals fan, I'm hoping a ton of quarterbacks go. I'm hoping some defensive players go. I mean, this, you might not see a defensive player in the top 10. I mean, there's not many
in the first round, period.
Very, very likely going to break the record of most offensive players taken in the first round, which is 19. I think we'll easily go past that. So, you know, they're not a trade. They've never been a trade up team. They will trade down, but they already have 10 picks, and they talked this week about like this is we know the urgency. So it's like, do you really need to accumulate more picks? You need to get good players. So do you, if you trade down, to me, that's saying like, we're going to trade down and then use those extra picks Friday to get like a, try to get more picks in the second and third round than versus just having 12, 13 picks. But yeah, I mean, defensive line, offensive line, I think they'll take a wide receiver on Friday. Corner is an interesting one. The Dax Hill thing, I think we'll learn a lot this week of what they, because they haven't really said what they want him to do. But if they take a corner in the first round, because Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold has stared him in the face and they have a very high grade on him, then, I mean, they've already basically said Dax Hill isn't a safety. If they take a corner, they're kind of saying, well, he's not a corner either. So I'm not sure what he is, because, I mean, if you're taking a corner in round one, that dude is like, he's your A guy. Cam Taylor-Britt's your two. DJ Turner works in there as like your three. You still have Mike Hilton as your slot. Like, where does Dax Hill exactly fit in?
I mean, ultimately, it's supposed to be as Mike Hilton's replacement next year, right?
This is me personally, and I could be reading it totally wrong. I think they are going to try him at outside corner.
Okay.
But again, if they take an outside corner at pick 18, then that clearly isn't the case. Right. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Trey Hendrickson stuff today changes their draft plan. I have said for a while that I think Edge is totally being overlooked, because outside of him, BJ Hill had the second most pressures on the team last year, and that's not a good thing. Like,
you're not allowed to say it around here. Sam Hubbard is on the backside.
Well, sure. I mean, and he played very, very hurt, but he is not a 15 sack guy. Like,
right.
They need another dude, and maybe that guy becomes Miles Murphy, and that's why it's hard to envision going DN 2 years in a row. But it's like, BJ Hill is like a 30-year-old, 28, 29, 30-year-old, nice rotational defensive tackle.
Rotational piece.
That guy cannot be number two on your team in pressures.
Right.
In an ideal situation. So I've always thought Edge was being overlooked. Not that it was like priority one, but it was getting like no attention. I'm like, wait a second, guys. Like, we didn't get to the quarterback at all last year. And not getting to the quarterback has a direct correlation to how terrible they were giving up big plays. So I don't know. I mean, the Trey Hendricks thing is very, very confusing to me. Like, you sign a contract 9 months ago. Now you're asking for a trade because you don't think you're getting fairly compensated, which I agree. You're a tremendous value for the Bengals based on your production over the last 3 years. But then why did you sign the contract? Right. You could have played this out and gone into free agency after this season.
Yep.
Plus, I'm not even sure it's technically legal in the NFL to redo a contract less than 1 year after you just signed it.
Yeah, you saw somebody on Twitter said you're not even allowed to do that.
Right. And so I'm just really confused about, and then the agent says, like, well, he might retire, but yet you're asking for more money, but the alternative is to retire.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You made like almost $70 million playing football.
Right.
If you're, you know, I don't know.
Good luck, Carson.
I don't know. I mean, I'm, especially with the Bengals, I'm pro player a lot. I mean, there are certain things that they have come up to the times with, and there are certain things that they still aren't, and they're going to start catching it in the ass with these guaranteed contracts and not giving money into the second and even third year on some of these deals. But this is one that I'm just like, I'm confused by.
Right.
Like, in order to get more security, like, you added money in 2024 and 2025. So you got more money, and the trade-off for that is you extended the time that you could become a free agent, but now you want a new contract because you think you're underpaid, which you are. But then why did you sign the deal that
underpaid 9 months you? Ago? Yeah.
So I don't know. It's confusing to me. But he certainly isn't getting traded. That's the hilarious part, is these guys continue to like demand a trade or ask for a trade. Okay, great. I'm sure Mike is
thanks for let, gonna get right thanks on. Thanks for that. Letting us know. Yeah, thanks for letting us yeah. know.
We'll see you in September.
We'll file that over here in the aluminum filing bin. And we'll see you in September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
if you had to guess, who's your pick? Who do they take?
I'm going to be doing a final mock draft tonight. Maybe.
You and Mo? Is Mo going to collaborate with you?
I told Mo he should do a mock draft of mock drafts.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, I'll go off the beaten path here a little bit. I will say Jared Verse. Defensive
There's
end.
There's nobody that loves Jared Verse more than you.
I do like Jared Verse.
I think you texted me like 30 times when he went in the portal before he went to Florida State. Do they know about him? They should go after him. I think they should target him. Have they called?
You've known me long enough. I'm not here to toot my own horn, but I have a pretty good track. I mean, I've gotten misses too. Let's be real. Everybody does. But sure. A lot of people aren't willing to talk about them. But I got some nice hits too. So I don't know. It's just so, I mean, I could just pick a random tackle, but it's so hard to pinpoint like where these guys are going to go and who they truly like. You know, I like Amarius Mims a lot, but he would be it would be a new Bengals type of pick.
Right.
You know, they like the safe and the, they don't like to take the home runs, especially in the first round. But I mean, you don't need a guy to. I mean, his whole thing is he just doesn't have a lot of snaps. It's not that he's raw; it's that he doesn't have a lot of snaps. I mean, his first start ever was the college football playoff game against Ohio State, and he was very good.
Yeah.
So, but they don't need a guy to step in right away. I mean, they have Trent Brown, so maybe he doesn't need to play until Trent Brown gets hurt in week 9 or whatever, which is probably.
I mean, love redshirting guys. They love redshirting first round. Oh,
well, that's the thing. They love the future proofing is like the new common phrase of like, let's get the guy before we need him, and then we already have him and he's in our system and now he's ready to roll. I think they need to do less of that and try to maybe not swing for the fences where the options are strikeout or home run, but I think they need to try to leg out some triples this year. Like the roster, especially on the back end, the last 3 drafts have been a few home runs, a few doubles, and a whole lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
So they do have some work to do. They're not going to be able to free agency their way. I mean, you got 4 out of 5 starting offensive linemen are free agents that are getting older. Like, they're going to need to start hitting on some of these picks. But, yeah, I could see Verse. I could see a corner. Obviously, offensive line, defensive line. I'm a Byron Murphy guy over Johnny Newton. But I don't think Byron Murphy, they have a prayer in picking him unless they were to trade up. So maybe they like Johnny Newton there if all the tackles are gone or something. Who knows?
And if he's there one pick before the Bengals, we know what will happen is the Steelers will trade up and draft him.
That's fine. I'm always cool with teams moving up in the first, like giving up assets for unproven commodities.
Sure. All right. I'm out. Are you? I know you got shit to do.
Yeah, I think I'm all set.
All right. We will, the run of big guests this week continues Like I said, we're taping a nightcap tomorrow with D. Alexander. That should be up sometime before 9 o'clock tomorrow night. You had Connor Hickman tonight. If you haven't seen with Katrina Merriweather, that was very good on Monday night. She gave us about an hour of her time. So that was outstanding. So as always, we're staying hot here on the BCJ Network. Thanks to Dave Simone. Thanks to Team Ticker. Thanks to Turtles Brew. And as always, thanks to our partners at the Holy Grail. This is the BCJ Podcast, brought to you by Bearcat Journal. We'll see you next time.